you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Pretty good, Molly. How are you, Marshall?
Oh, great. We're great, I think.
Yeah, we're doing okay. Fine. I said earlier, I'm delighted for Dylan Cease. It was fun to see him throw a no-hitter. You always have a moment in a game like that where some weird play helps you, and there was that Xander Bogaerts ball pops out of his mitt, and it's caught. And, it was just super cool to see him get the no-hitter. And we don't see many no-hitters these days, Steve, only the second one in Major League Baseball. And, a good guy, you maybe a hint of jealousy, I think, both sides of town, because he used to be a Cub at one point and then obviously a great pitcher with the White Sox. But it was just good to see him succeed in that fashion.
The one thing that Dylan does bring to the mound with him on a daily basis is no-hit stuff. That's not a debatable issue. And San Diego made a good trade, which so far looks pretty good for both sides. Right. I mean, Cease is a top of the rotation starter. That matters how deep your rotation is, but he's going to be probably one or two with just about everybody. So for them, it worked out pretty well. And as far as the Sox are concerned, they got back a good portion of the future, and now we'll have to see beyond Thorpe just how the others develop.
Speaking of Thorpe, I've been not mesmerized, but kind of mesmerized watching him pitch and just like the way he goes about his business. Are you surprised at all at how much success he has had here as a rookie?
No, because of his command. I mean, most likely he's going to throw the ball around the plate. Even when he misses, he doesn't miss by much. And plus he has a spectacular changeup. And if you have one of those, and if you don't tip it, it's going to be really tough to hit, because hitters just, they don't pick up the lack of spin right away. It's a different type of spin coming off his hands the way he throws his changeup and just what everybody else does. So it's surprising in that he is captivating these major league hitters a lot sooner than I thought he would. However, looking at his stuff the first few times he pitched, I realized that he's got something. He's got the ability, regardless of what the pressure situation is, he has the ability to continue to throw strikes with all of his pitches. And I think you're seeing what the Sox saw in him when they traded for him.
Steve, obviously the trade deadline is right around the corner now, and we are kind of waiting with bated breath as to what will happen. We know that the White Sox are one of the teams that is trading. We were talking about what we heard from John Heyman yesterday, and John is a regular on the show and does a great job. And he apparently reported that Garrett Crochet's representatives have told teams that the pitcher will not pitch in the playoffs without an extension, which would seemingly damage his trade value. We'll find out if that is the case. But if you were planning on trading for Garrett Crochet, how much would it impact what you wanted to do when you find out that he says he's not going to the bullpen, that he wants to finish the year in the rotation, and if he's going to be pitching in October, he's going to need a contract extension?
Well, I mean, I've heard all that, and because he doesn't have a no trade, because he's not a 10-5 year man, because he doesn't have that many years in the game, and this is his first year starting, realistically, he has no ability to dictate terms of anything. However, that being said, it still is his arm and he has a deciding vote. And if you are looking to him, you're probably going to be a team that's either pretty much locked into a playoff spot or one, for instance, in the National League, one of six teams that are sitting right there in the wild card race. You certainly want him to pitch in October. So the question comes down then, number one, when he talks about an extension, he's got 2+ years left. How long is that extension? That's going to come into play. How much is that extension for? That's going to come into play. And then, of course, what exactly is a team willing to give up for a guy that has a couple of question marks. Now, selfishly, because I know Garrett, I would like to see the White Sox keep him. Again, that's selfishly, and I think a lot of fans feel the same way. However, the Sox are in a position where they need to add at many positions, and they need talent, they need volume as far as getting players back in return, and then you sit and you measure it. This is a tough time for all GMs, but this year especially, it comes down very much to a GM's division because you've got more teams eligible for the wild card at this point than you seem to ever have, which means there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be buyers, which means that five teams that are completely eliminated from postseason, they're going to be the sellers. And everybody's going to be looking over their organization, what the talent is at the major leagues, what it's going to cost me in both dollars and in prospects, and then they'll figure out what to do. But there's a lot of teams searching. There's not that many teams that are completely out of this where they pretty much say, what am I bid? But the White Sox are one of those teams.
Trade deadline coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
It's interesting because I was just reading about Luis Robert Jr., right, Steve? And the fact that when he's healthy and he's going well, he's as good as anybody in the outfield, and there's teams who need an outfielder. But it seems like there's a big hang-up on that health issue. I mean, the best ability, of course, availability. And do you think that teams would be willing to take a risk on Luis Robert Jr. and that the White Sox could get what they want for him?
Well, the easy answer is yes to the first part. You know, he's as far as losing a whole lot of value, that's a concern. When you trade for somebody who has been injured quite a bit, well, it's always a concern. However, last year, the man hit 38 home runs, drove in 80, and played most of the time. Now, this year, he had an early injury, which he's just now starting to look like he's coming back and getting the rhythm and the timing. So if you're looking to make a deal, you're probably seeing the best of Luis Robert vintage 2024 at this point. Then the question becomes, like every other trade you either anticipate or you look at or you're contemplating, you say to yourself what it's going to cost you in prospects. And then there's a couple of $20 million options at the end of Luis's hold. So you have him, if you want to, you have him quite some time for $20 million for a guy who can play as well as he did. I know it sounds strange to other people because it sounds strange to me. I mean, when you're saying $20 million, well, that's kind of a value for a guy who's, you know, top five prospect in baseball. So as far as that's concerned, I think that that's always a condition with which you're going to make your deal. What is it going to cost you in players? What's it going to cost you in dollars? And how long do I have this guy? I think Luis Robert has enormous talent, and you're right. I mean, he does get injured quite a bit. However, perhaps most of those injuries are behind him. And, you know, this is, again, a very valuable guy, and the Sox have a few of those. But, you know, when I'm looking at everything, there's conditions with Garrett Crochet. There's concerns with Luis Robert. There's other teams that maybe have gone in a different direction, and it doesn't preclude Seattle, who just got Randy Arozarena. It doesn't preclude them from going after Luis Robert, which has been their stated intention. So you look at everything that's on the table, everything that's available, and then you make your decisions. And this is not a slam dunk for anybody. For any of these prospects or any of these players that come over from other places, you never know how they're going to do. You think you got a pretty good idea, but that's why you make the trade. You get a whole lot of tomorrow for a whole lot of today, and that's the way teams that are not going to make the playoffs have to have to be in that mind frame, and that's what Chris Getz is going through now.
Steve.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's interesting because, you know, I mean, I would be delighted as a Sox fan if Garrett Crochet were to stay with the team, if Luis Robert wasn't traded. But I understand there are a lot of trades to be made, and there are a lot of people that are rumored to be traded. Eric Fetty should bring in a pretty good turn of prospects. We mentioned Tommy Pham, Paul DeJong. You know, this is all going down Tuesday at 5 o'clock. How tight will all this be if indeed we're talking about you know, dealing with various teams on some of these days? When you get beyond like four trades, I got to imagine that's a lot of calendar time.
Well, there is, but you know, Sox have an advantage because when they did move Dylan Cease, they looked at just about everybody else's farm system. They know the farm systems backwards and forwards, and that's how you complete a trade, is getting maybe one of those gems who's not highly thought of at this time, but you see some potential for development, then you get them in return. And, you know, that's what makes this time of year so interesting and so exciting. Because although, I mean, Arozarena is a very good player, this might kick off really heavy trade season. I know we don't have that much time left, but so far everybody's been very quiet until this trade with the Mariners came out. And, you know, we'll see who follows, but I'm sure there's a lot more. The question for a lot of teams looking for power is Guerrero going to be traded from the Blue Jays? I mean, nobody at this point really knows that, but they do know that there's some bats, there's certain guys that are going to be out there and available. But understand something, with scarcity comes very expensive times. And if there's very few power-hitting outfielders, and you happen to have one, well, that's pretty good for you because the cost goes up. And I will agree with you, Mully, in that the guy to me that I would go after, which doesn't have many concerns, is one Eric Fetty, who not only you control through this year, but you control through next year at $7.5 million. That is a bargain basement rate for a starting pitcher who's going to be a two or three wherever he goes. And if you look at his numbers, except for strikeouts, he is almost identical to Garrett Crochet. I mean, Eric Fetty has had a really remarkable year for a team that is 51 games under 500. So he would be the guy that I would concentrate on. Not that he won't cost you a lot, because he will. He's just going to cost you a whole lot less than Garrett Crochet, and you might not have as many concerns.
Steve, how when you look at a team that's lost 11 in a row and you're kind of looking at post-trade deadline, if some of these guys are moved, and yes, it seems like another wave of youth might be on the way up, are there any particular players that you're looking at in the minor leagues that you're excited to see back half of the season here?
Oh, at this point, at 51 under, I'm pretty much excited to see just about everybody is brought to the team. You know, you want to bring in guys who have passed away recently? Bring them in. That's not a problem. You know, we'll deal with it here. I mean, obviously, it doesn't get a whole lot worse than it's been. However, there have been some bright spots that you wouldn't have necessarily seen if the year had gone differently. And I'm thinking of Thorpe, and I'm thinking of Cannon. Those are two guys look to me like they're going to be right in the middle of the starting rotation going forward. Then you have to decide exactly what's going to happen with Crochet. I'm pretty sure Fetty's going to be traded. That being said, there's a lot of teams I'm sure very interested in his skills, because pitching and power hitting from either side of the plate is at a premium. And with all the teams that are in it, they're not going to want to move their guys that have kept them in this wild card race or the division race. But the teams that are also Rans, they're pretty much saying, I got an open portfolio, take a look, see what you like. And that's kind of what at least five teams are in. And there's probably some more that are sitting on the cusp, 4 to 5, 5.5 games back in the wild card. Those are teams having to make decisions. And the Cubs happen to be one of them. They got to figure out if they're buyers or sellers or exactly what's going to happen. But there's a number of teams that are sitting right there. And the question is, can they get back in it? Will their evaluators believe they can get back in it? Because if not, then they become sellers also.
We were talking about this idea that the Sox could be the losingest season ever, worse than the Mets did.
No, Cleveland, yep. Spiders, my friend.
When was
20
that?
And 20-134 okay. In 1899.
All right. Thank God we have the Spiders.
So we're going to say the modern era then, 1900
flown
plus.
By the Spiders. Yeah, they've flown by the Spiders at this point.
But I guess when that whole conversation comes up, Whenever we talk about, you know, where this is going to wind up or how it will end up, I think the thing that I underestimated, just watching the games, and I'm still, we're watching them together, Steve. I'm still watching them with you. I did not take into account that as you are losing games, that takes a toll on your psyche as well. In other words, you know, when you're seeing a team losing one-run games and it's happening as often as it's happening, you keep thinking, oh, no, like this, now they're in this losing mode. And you know, we talk about an 11-game losing streak or whatever. There were different games in there that they could have won, and it didn't happen. And so you're left wondering what the toll of that takes on the psyche of a team, if that's not getting too goofy.
No, and I understand it. Look, it's difficult to lose, and you got to take something into consideration. These guys who are currently wearing major league uniforms, they are the best of the best in the world. They have pretty much dominated every level that they've been at. If they hadn't have done that, they probably wouldn't be in the major league. So you have to understand how good these guys really are. Now, there's three stages of development for players, Mully. One is when you sign a contract, you have to be taught how to play professional baseball because it's completely different than anything else you've experienced. That's the first part. Learn how to play professional baseball. Then you get the guy and you bring him up to the major leagues, and you have to teach him how to play major league baseball. That's the second step. So you've taught him how to play professional baseball. You've taught him how to play major league baseball. And the third and final leg of this trilogy is learning how to play winning baseball. And that's something that has eluded the Sox to this point. There's a lack of talent, certainly. And we've seen the inability to cut down base stealers is getting to be alarming. And it's not on the catchers. It's on the pitchers, not looking at the base paths. I've seen so many guys get running starts this year. I've never seen anything like it before. And one of the reasons is a lot of the Sox pitchers don't exactly look at the base runners as they're taking a lead. Because if you were looking at him and he takes off, it's an easy step off and throw him out. It's not happening. It was a double steal that figured prominently, you know, in the Texas series. And this stuff continues to happen. We're 105 games in this season. I can't understand why teams are still running us out of the ballpark. And that's been one of the problems, something to be addressed, certainly. And so there's a lot of things that have to be done. But teaching young guys how to play winning baseball, how to play selfless baseball, how to hit to the right side when there's a runner at second and nobody out, get that man over. The Sox, on an alarming basis, have put runners at second and third with nobody out, and they don't score them. Or they have a runner at second and nobody out, and he doesn't move from second. This is fundamental offensive execution. That's something that this team is going to have to learn. And this doesn't have to be a long project, because there's some real bright spots on the horizon. And, you know, we're going to start seeing them now. Baldwin was brought up. But the stars have been starting pitching, because starting pitching has been enough. If you take starting pitching and then make everything around it better, then you've got yourself a team that's probably knocking at the door of 500, because starting pitching has been just about as good as anybody since June 7th. And so that is a bright spot. Now you have to build around that, and you know, you see who you wind up with at the end of this trade deadline, because Tuesday evening is going to be it, and we'll see how many guys get on the phone. I think you'll see things starting to loosen up, probably starting today.
It's tough, Steve, just because you look at the schedule and you're like, they're playing now, the White Sox, teams who are fighting for something. And that's kind of the problem. Not that anyone would let up anyway, but like the Mariners are in town. Then it's the Royals. These are teams that are fighting for playoff spots.
Mm. Yes. But that is the fun part of having a horrific season, because really the only thing you have left is to play spoiler. So when you're playing a team that is struggling like you're struggling, and you know, there's nobody struggling quite as much as the Sox are. But when you're playing teams that are going to finish up the track, there's not a whole lot of, you know, that, hey, let's go get them tonight kind of thing. But when you do play teams that are trying to get to the postseason, the only fun there is at that point is playing the spoiler, and that's what the Sox have left. So we'll see after Tuesday who they have to spoil with.
Great stuff, Steve. Thank you, buddy. Great talking to you, as always.
Well, thanks, guys. Look, you have a good rest of the show. And, you know, I took the 7 days off for the first seven games, and I feel like the guy who's picking up that helicopter ride out to the Titanic just before the iceberg.
Oh,
so we'll see what happens, but I am going to be back, and I am looking forward to watching a team in Seattle that is going to make some more moves, and they're knocking at the door. They're right there. They're a game back. They're a game back of the Astros, and the Astros story has been remarkable. So have a good show, and I'll talk to you guys down the road.
Thanks a ton, Steve. That is Steve Stone.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.